assume that he told me that he made a mistake in Kiddush to God, that it was Shabbos, and started saying Borki Agafim with the Yasin Diganigan, and then he realized that he forgot to say Vaihulu, so he said Vaihulu right away, in between the Borki Agafim and the Bracha of Kiddush. So the Din of Pipash says that that's a heptic, that's not correct. The reciting of the Vaihulu right before, that's not really an intrinsic part of the Kiddush. No, it says that you say Vaihulu on Friday night. Do we really say it in Shul? We say it in the davening one, then we say it before when Yom Tov falls out of Shabbos, so you don't say the Shabbos to the davening, you say, after the Chazon Lekolam, we say the Yom Tov to the davening, which doesn't have Aichulu, that's why we repeat the Aichulu after davening to cover that situation. So when Yom Tov Choli is the Shabbos, you don't say Aichulu in davening, so you say it after the davening. And we always say it after the davening every Shabbos, so we're already ahead, we already said it the second time. Then when we come home, we say it a third time. We say, God, we say three times, Aichulu. But really, you don't have to say Aichulu as part of the Kiddush. It's a meaning that we say it right before the Kiddush. But if somebody forgets to say it before the Barfi Agafen, he certainly shouldn't say it till after he drinks the wine. And then, Mehechatesu, then he should say nothing. Say Aichulu. If his meaning is to say Aichulu, say nothing. The post can point out that whenever one person... is a Shabbat.
Don't you use
the
same
No. Friday night you do say that.
Friday night?
Shabbat.
Say
Magen Avos, huh? Yeah. You don't say Magen Avos, Shabbat.
Don't you say that for
sure? In the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes such a meaning that since the Gemara says that reciting by Chul was like testifying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, they should have two witnesses together.
How come you do Kiddush you say
that? So that meaning of the Ramah is not everybody has that meaning, and even the Ramah only has that meaning in Shul, he doesn't have it at home. People recite Kiddush at home with Yechidus also. The post can point out that whenever you recite Kiddush and whenever you recite a Baruch Hu to be most the other people, so the other people should only say Amen, they shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai. In fact, some are of the opinion that even B'Di'evit, if you say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai, that would constitute a hefsik and you would have to recite the bracha over again. That's what Moshe Feinstein wrote, the final bracha wrote in his svar. That if one wants to be Yotzei Kiddush with someone else, that's Baruch Hu Kiyah Shofar or whatever, and he says Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai, it's a hefsik and you have to repeat the bracha over again. Many other poskim disagree. They quote that in the Beit Medrash of the Chasam Sofer, they always used to say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai. When the Baal Takei would say the Bracha on Tir Shofarim, when the Baal Koiri would say the Bracha on Mikra Megillah, and that some Sofer wasn't Meicher. Apparently he was of the opinion that it's not a Hefsik. And other Gedolim also were of the opinion that it's not a Hefsik. So to go so far to say that even B'Di'evit, you're not Yotzei, that's already that's a big Chiddush. But Al Pi Pashtus, L'Chatchila, we assume that it's not proper for everybody to answer Baruch Hu Roshma in the middle of a Bracha that you want to be Yotzei with. Unless you're going to say the Bracha yourself. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, as you say, Baruch Hu V'Shmo, when someone else says the Baruch. Rav Avadya Yosef printed a Haggadah many, many years ago, 25 years ago. He printed a Haggadah that made a big hit. And then it was reprinted, several times after. So one of the famous pieces that he has in his Haggadah is about the Baruch of Bor Pri HaGofen. Whenever the word is really Gefen, but whenever it comes at the end of a sentence, then you say Gofen, like you say Eretz, and when it comes at the end of a sentence, you say Oretz. So by the Spartan, they have the practice of saying Baruch Pri Ha Gefen. They have to stand on the set to try to explain why they have that meaning. But he quotes that somebody had told him, I don't know, the one who told him is not as famous as Rav Avadya Yosef. Some Talachachma told him that the explanation is the following. That whenever one says a bracha for others, it depends whether he's saying Kiddush to be made to other people or he's saying for yourself. So this Talachachma told Rav Avadya Yosef, when you say Kiddush for yourself, the meaning ought to be by the Spartan that they should say Baruch Pri Ha Gefen. But when you're saying Kiddush for others, and they're going to answer Ramein, and the Gemara says in Brachas, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you say a Bracha Baruch Pi HaGofen, you have to wait till after they say Amen before you drink the wine. Because their entering Amen is considered a Gemar of your Bracha. And just like they're supposed to be Mechavim to your Bracha if they want to drink the wine, so you have to be Mechavim to their Amen also. Because the entering of Amen is part of your Bracha. That's what it says in the Gemara, and that's how Rashi explains that Gemara. That the Amen is part of the, is considered as if it's part of the bracha, then the word gefen is not the last word of the sentence, so to speak, in a certain sense. But that's what he quotes a sharpened explanation of the Spardish meaning, but that's not, by the Ashkenaz, we don't have that meaning. Our meaning is that we say, Baruch Pri HaGofen. In Yeshiva, there's one boy who got so excited about this explanation, loved so much that every Shabbos when he says Kiddush, he says, Baruch Pri HaGofen. Everybody laughs. He says, that's not our meaning. The Gemara in the end of Sochem points out that the Nusach HaBracha, the Chasima of the Bracha for Kiddush, and for the Kedushas HaYoyim in the Shemoneh Esrei, on Shabbos and on Yontif, is different. And on Shabbos you just say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. And on Yontif you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, the Hazmanim. Why this distinction? So the Gemara explains that Shabbos is Kodesh from the time of Sheishis Mei Breishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And then he was Kaveya that every seventh day should be Shabbos. So it doesn't matter whether there are Jews on the scene or not. Even before the Jewish people emerged, even before Avraham Avinu was on the scene, Shabbos had a Kedushas Hayom. So you just say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh HaShabbos. Sheini Ken Yontif, Yamim Tovim do not have a Kedusha on their own without the participation of Bnei Yisrael creating the Kedusha. We have to have the Bezin be Mekadosh, the Rosh HaKadosh, and the Mela determining when the Yontif is. Some Rishonim even explain in the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra, and the Gemara says in Perek Yesh Nechman that the Moadei Hashem, Tzrichim Kiddush Bezdin, so the Shittim Kubetz is quote in interpretations from the Rabbeinu Hanano, that it's not sufficient that Bezdin should declare when Rosh Chodesh is, and the Mela we will know when Yontif will be, that Yontif will be, Pesach will be on the 15th, and so on. In addition to the Bezdin declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, Bezdin has to declare on Pesach, today is Mekudosh B'Kedushas Pesach. And even today that we don't have any Bezdin declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, we don't have any Bezdin declaring when Yontif is, but the Gemara still says that somehow the Jewish people participate in creating the Kedushas Hayom of the Rosh HaKadoshim and of the Yomim Tovim. Exactly how? That's the question. The Ramban is of the opinion, there's a machlokes is the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos regarding the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZalachem, that was Parshas HaChodesh, that we read on Shabbos. So the Ramban's opinion is that in the days of Hillel HaSheni, they declared which days will be Rosh HaKadosh and which days will be Yontif until Mashiach will come. Because they knew in the days of Hillel HaSheni that they're not going to have Smicha, there won't be any continuation of Smicha, there's going to be quite a hafsoka until Mashiach is going to come. So they were Koveya, they had a whole Luach, and they were Koveya at that time that these days should be Rosh Chodesh and these days should be Yontif. So in effect, according to the Ramban's understanding of what's going on, we have a Kiddush Bezin on all the Yomim Tovim and all the Rosh HaKadoshim, and everything was declared by the Bezin. Which year will be Hashanah Muberes, which year will be Hashanah Pshuta? The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that it's not that the Bezin in the days of Hillel HaSheni was Mekadosh all the Rosh HaKadoshim and all the Yomim Tovim years in advance, and they determined which year should be Hashanah Muberes, which should be Hashanah Pshuta. How could they do that? Chavdo v'shlo bo l'yoylo. Read a Bezin 1500 years ago declared that Shnat Tavshin Mem Tes is going to be a Shana Moveres and that the Rosh Chodesh is going to be on this day. You can't be Mekadosh Adav Shlo Bo Yoram. This man didn't even come yet. If you're holding in that year, you can be Mekadosh, you can declare this year is a Shana Moveres. If today is Rosh Chodesh, if today is the day it's supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, you can say, we hereby declare that today is Rosh Chodesh. How can you declare years in advance which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. And he says that it's not that the Bezin in the days of Hillel HaSheni was Kovei in advance. It's rather that Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's what he writes, Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, today, in the days of the Ram, there weren't so many Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, today there's a little more, a larger number of Jews. So the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today are the ones who are making the Rosh HaKadoshim into Rosh Chodesh and making the Yomim Tovim into Yomim Tovim by their Nihuk, by their being Noyim. This day is Rosh Chodesh and that day is Yontif. Their Nihuk makes it into Rosh Chodesh and into Yontif. Then the Ram adds on a line, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, it says the Kuf Nun Gimel, the famous line that the Achrenim discussed, I mean, Eid and many others, the Ram writes, and if, Chatz V'Chalila, one would visualize that there wouldn't be any Jews in Eretz Yisrael who would be observing Rosh Chodesh, or Yontif, even if there would be Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but they wouldn't be observing, and they wouldn't be Koveya, which day should be Rosh Chodesh, and which day should be Yontif, then the whole system of the calendar would collapse. We would continue to have Shabbos, but there wouldn't be any Rosh Chodesh, and there wouldn't be any Yom Tov. The fact that we still maintain today, the observance of Rosh HaKadosh and Yom Tovim is due to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. That they are knowing on Rosh Chodesh that it's Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov that it's Yom Tov. So in effect, the Gemara says, in effect, the Kedushas Rosh HaKadosh and Yom Tovim is determined by the Jewish people. So that's why we recite the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael, Rosh HaKadosh, in the davening on Rosh Chodesh, or in the davening on Yom Tov, or in the Kiddush on Yom Tov, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael, V'hazman, because HaKadosh Baruch is Mekadosh Yisrael, who in turn, on the Kaddish Tzman. Mashena King Shabbos, we have nothing to do with Kedusha Shabbos. Already Gocha, when he created the world, established by Gocha, he came in Hashem HaShvi, by Kaddish Shabbos, he was Mekaddish all the Shabbos in way in advance. So the Mefarshim points out on the Siddur that that's why the Nusach of the Kiddush on Yontif doesn't begin the same as the Nusach of the Kiddush on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you say, Shekirishana b'mitzvayisa, the Ratzav Bom, it's like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Shekirishana b'mitzvayisa, like every Birchas HaMitzvah. On Yontif, we have to first declare that we are declaring it as a Yontif. We have to make it as a Yontif. Anihuk, according to the Rambam's opinion, that is. According to the Rambam, it has already been declared as a Yontif many years ago by Hillel HaSheni. According to the Rambam, we today are declaring it as Yontif. Even according to the Rambam, that it already has been declared, we still start off with the bracha, Hashabach HaBonu Mikolom, that there was a Bechiras Yisrael, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled us out, and He gave us the power of HaKadosh HaZalachem, the ability to be Mikadosh Chadoshim, to be Mikadosh Yamin Tevim, that's why Vatitan Lanu, as Chag HaMatzos Hazeh. He gave us the Yontif after first choosing us, and giving us the ability to be Mikadosh Zman, He gave us the Yontif. It's interesting that we use the expression Bach HaBonu Mikolom V'Ramamonu Mikol Lashon. Lashon means a nation. Lashon also means a tongue, or Lashon means a language. So why do we use that Lashon? Why do we use that expression over here? V'Ramamonu Mikol Lashon. It's just a repetition of Bach HaBonu Mikolom. It is Fasemis and his Drush Sefer on Chumash suggests the following explanation. It's interesting. It's the Gemara has in the end of Shabbos, and I got it there, well, one of the Amoraim asks the other, on what does the world stand? What keeps up the world? Mishnah says, So what's keeping, whose learning is keeping up the world? Arshir here, KJ, or someone, who's learning? So the Gemara says, the Tinaika Shal Beis Rabba, the little children and Cheda who are learning. So Abai asks, I think, Rabbi Yosef, what about my Torah, and what about your Torah? Only the Tinaika Shal Beis Rabba. So the Rebbe Rabbi Yosef answers, no, that the Torah that the Talmidim and the Cheda learn is much more pure, because they haven't soiled their mouths with Machloikis, with Lashon Hara, with Sinas Chinam, with Brachas Levatole, with Nivol Peh, whatever, Lashon Hara, Rechilas, whatever people use their mouths for improperly, soils them out. So Menele, when they learn, when older people learn Torah, so their Torah is not as pure as the Torah that the little children are. So the Sfasemis has such a comment over here as well. He says that the Ramamana we call Lashon, we refer to the Jewish people as a nation, and we refer also as a nation using the term Lashon to signify that we want to be Mekadosh Zman. HaKadosh HaZalachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to create the Kedushas Yontif, not Kedushas Shabbos as Kodesh Meyed, but to create the Kedushas Yontif and to create the Kedushas Rosh HaKadoshim. So we mentioned that we were singled out as a Jewish people, Ramamana we call Lashon, not just as a people, Lashon Taka as a Lashon, as the ability to speak. So we should be careful, Taka, to maintain pure speech so that when we want to be Mekadosh, the Yom Tov with our Lashon, I'm saying Kiddush HaChodesh and so on, it should be a proper Kiddusha. On the second day Yom Tov this year, we're going to be saying Havdalah as well. The Gemara makes a big fuss about that. How do you recite all of the brachas in what order? So the Gemara gives you the Rashi Tevis. Is Yaknahaz, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. So we recite the Bari Miyari Hoesh. Many have the meaning that when you recite, the Gemara says in the end of Brachas that L'Hatchila it's preferable to use an Avuka to recite the Bracha Bari Miyari Hoesh on Mitzvah Shabbos. An Avuka means that you have a torch. So that's why we usually use a special Havdalah candle that has many wicks on top and the flames all blend in together. What if you have two candles, two single candles that are near each other and the flame doesn't blend in together? Does that constitute an avuka or not? So it says in Hilcha Shechita, of all places, it says in Hilcha Shechita that that's an avuka. Why is it in Hilcha Shechita? Because there is a Gemara in Chulin that l'hatchila you're not permitted to shech talaylo because it's dark. So if you don't see what you're doing here, you're going to make it an aveda. Unless you have an avuka and you're shechting near the avuka, so then it's okay. You have the lights on. So nighttime is the same as the daytime, so you can shech at night. So what's the definition of an avuka? So you have a kivega there, and Hilcha Shechita, both the achronim, who say that avuka doesn't necessarily have to be the way we have a havdalah candle, where all of the wicks are so close that the flame is blended into the one gigantic light. I mean, if you have two single candles that are near each other, if you have one candle on one end of the room, one candle on the other end of the room, that's not called an avuka. But if they're near each other and it causes an additional amount of light, then that's also considered an avuka. It's permitted l'chatzila to shech palaylo. The Yor HaVuka. So the same as on Matzoy Shabbos, the minig is that you blend the two candles in together, but strictly speaking, if you don't want to, you don't have to. So on Yontif, Shechalias, and Matzoy Shabbos, then you have the minig that when you recite, remember once in Yeshiva, Matzoy Shabbos, the Bochum didn't know how to say Bar Miyari Hoish. but Yeshua needs. Rosh Hashanah, one of the days of Rosh Hashanah, was on Mitzvah Shabbos. I was eating in the yeshiva. They didn't know how you're supposed to have dogs. So I thought, just take the two candles. They didn't remember from the mother's home, religious people. They didn't remember from the mother's home. You take the two candles and you say, Barmi Arash. The only question is whether you blend the two together. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over that many Achranim have such a minhag, in Europe they have such a minhag, that you don't blend the flames in together on Yontif, you just leave the two candles the way they are, near each other. Because Nikar Adin, that constitutes an avuk. What's the Peter? And the Lubavitcher Haggadah, they also quote like that. The Lubavitcher minhag, by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, always was that they wouldn't blend the two flames in together. What's the Peter? The Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, used to say that it's Havara Shalom Tzorah. But on Yontif, you're only permitted to do a malacha if it's necessary. It's not necessary, so you don't do it. So here, if the candles are burning well anyway, so why should you make a bigger flame by doing a havara necessarily if you can say the bracha Barmi Arash the way it is? Others write that they don't think that it's a havara shalom tzorah, they rather think that it's a kibui shalom tzorah, because if you're going to have the two candles together, some of the wax is going to drip down. And if you lose some of your wax, then the candle is going to burn a shorter amount of time. So the time that it's kibui shalom tzorah, whatever it is, either it's havara shalom tzorah or the opposite kibui shalom tzorah, the minig was in many communities they had the minig that they did. When Yantar falls on the Tzai Shabbat, they would put the two candles together and blend them together. In many communities they were mocked with Bedavkin Atzim.
Assuming you have this process also, is it better to use the electric light, or better to use the
Yantar? Many Poskim hold that you can use an incandescent bulb if it's not for us to dry. If it's a clear bulb, you can use that for Boromir Hayesh also. On the Tzai Shabbos, right. So then it would be preferable, that when it's younger, it would be preferable not to go out of your way, unless you bench lift anyway. Bench lift and have candles on the table. But the light candle, specially in order to be able to save Barmi Arash, that's not right. If you have an electric bulb that you can use, you should use that.
You also must think that you should have that set it's light before.
I think
like that Shabbos, that you don't make just all candles, light it on all over.
I mean, when you bench lift, when the woman benches lift, so she shouldn't bench lift in a room that's fully lit.
We don't use that for Abdullah, we use the same.
No. Abdullah, you can have a light that is burning the whole time, that's not a problem. No, when you light
the candle, you light the candle,
shut it off, and then
you put
it on again to make the
candle.
No. But in order to say a prophet, Lahalik Nershal Shabbos, Lahalik Nershal Yantis, that says in the Taisis, and it's called in Shulchanot, you have to have a dark room. And turn on the light, or light the candles in such a way that it illuminates the room. But if the room is all this anyway, flooded with light from the lamp on top, and then just going to light the candles, so that's a big problem. How do you, there's no Tosefis over. So that's, you can't turn off the light on Yom Kippur. You have to bench lift in a different room. You have to light candles in a different room.
But
Barmi Arash is not a problem. No, in order to have the contrast between the darkness and the light, no, that's for drama. No, the Igra, then you don't need that. The Igra, then you don't need that. In the biography of Rabbi Chanav Asiman, they write that he was once in London raising money for his yeshiva in Baranovich. He was staying by Achsida Shehid, I think at Belzos, or something. He was staying by Achsida Shehid over Shabbos. And then on Matzoy Shabbos, they're about to say Abdullah. And so the Chassidish Yid had all the lights on, and they had a candle, they were going to say Abdullah. So Rabban of Atman said that by him and the yeshiva, they were makbid, that they would turn off the lights first, and they would only have the flames, so everybody would be able to be men. So the Chassidish Yid didn't take the answer. He says, by us, the meaning is not fun, he just went back. We have the meaning that we leave the lights on. He didn't take his recommendation. It's interesting that on, Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered when he was once in Vilna, that on Matzoi Shabbos, Rav Chaim Oizer would be Mahader, Bedavke, to recite Gorim Yori Hoesh, on an electric bulb, Bedavke, and not on a regular Havdalah candle. Because the Maharsham, who was one of the Gedolei Apostolim 100 years ago, writes in his Tshuva that turning on electric bulbs on Shabbos is only a Malacha Medrabbonah. He thinks that it's not a Malacha of Havara Ben Atar. Rav Chaim Oizer writes in his Sefer that he thinks that that's wrong. He doesn't write in his Sefer, he's quoted this thing. Quoted as saying that he thinks that that's an Issa Deraisa. So notice the stress that he felt that it was Eish, 100% Eish, that if you turn on electric bulb, you're violating Havara, so he would go out of his way to say Barmi Arihu Eish, and Matoy Shabbos over an electric bulb. He quoted also the Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also. Rav Soloveitchik didn't mention that, but in Svarim, they quoted Rav Chaim Soloveitchik would also recite Barmi Arihu Eish on electric bulbs. The other person hold that you can't. Feinstein and others hold that you can. But many hold that you may. The Nusach that we recite in the Havdalah usually is Hamavdin Nekodesh Lechol. And when Yantar falls out of Matzoyi Shabbos, then we recite the Bracha Hamavdin Nekodesh Lechodesh. It's important to keep in mind, we shouldn't think that all of life is so simple because there's just Kodesh and Chol, and everything that Kodesh belongs in the same boat. That's not so. There are Chilukim within Kodesh Gufa. There's Kodesh Chomer and Kodesh Ka. Such detailed chilukim, the Gemara even says that the Ketorah has more kedusha than tefillin has more kedusha than the Zuzah. The Gemara says within tefillin, the tefillin shal rosh has more kedusha than the tefillin shal yad. Even though the Ketorah has more kedusha than the tefillin that we understand has more parshias, and the tefillin has more kedusha than the mezuzah has more parshias. But the shal rosh has more kedusha than the shal yad because it has the shin on the outside, and because it's the gilud. The Gemara goes into such detailed madregas of kedusha. What's that? Is one thing Gemara just say? This kodesh and this chol. So the Rebbe once explained, you couldn't say like that because everything really in the world is Kodesh. If the Rabbanu Shlom is Kodesh, he created the world. So like the Mishnah says in the first parak in Cheres, Hayotzim and Tohor. It's Tohor. If you have a kosher animal, gives that milk. So the milk is kosher. If you have a kosher bird, lays an egg. So the egg is kosher. So Hayotzim and Kodesh is also Kodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. So in some, everything that he created also has Kedusha. Except that there are different levels of Kedusha. So we call everything that has a very low level of Kedusha, we call Chol. But really, everything has Kedusha. A lower level of Kedusha. If the Kedusha is more obvious and more apparent, then we call it Kodesh. So everything in the world is... it's not that anything is Chol. Everything is Kodesh Chomer versus Kodesh Chol. So that's what tipped off the Chachamim in the Gemara, that you have to look for all the different levels of Kedusha in the world. And it's important to keep in mind the hierarchy of Kedusha. What's more important than what? I like to say over from Pascal. He writes in one of his book, Constant. He writes that someone can have a taina against me that I wasn't mechadish, and he wrote a book on philosophy. He says, if someone can have a taina, I didn't say anything original. Every idea that I have is printed in another book. Every idea appears already in another book. So he says it's not a taina. You can have the same taina against the poet who writes beautiful poetry, so you can find out that every word that he wrote appears in the dictionary. So what's the chiddush? The chiddush is of the name. The chiddush is the arrangement of the word. I put this word first, and that word second, this word third, and it comes out like this. So that's the chiddush. He says the same is true in ideas. Even if you subscribe to the same 1,000 ideas that I subscribe to, you have a whole different system. You put this idea on top, and that idea on the bottom, and this one in the middle, and I have everything completely rearranged. The same 1,000 ideas, but in the different arrangements, in a different arrangements, in a different sequence. So then it gives a whole different picture, an overall picture, and it gives every idea this may have a different meaning. So that's what he says about his philosophy book as opposed to others. In fact, he's repeating ideas that appear in everyone else's books, but the arrangement of the ideas present a different notion. That's the same over here. Amavde mekodesh lekodesh, it's important that we all subscribe to all the Tariyat mitzvahs. We have to know which mitzvahs are more important than others. Some people hold that Medinat Yisrael is the biggest mitzvah in the Torah, and you can forget about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach and Medinat Yisrael is the end of everything. And other people feel that Medinat Yisrael is all the way on the bottom. You have all the Tariyat mitzvahs there, Isa, and all the Dinam Drabon, and all the Minhagim, and everything, and all his Miras, and after you fulfill all the Minhagim, then Medinat Yisrael is on the bottom. And other people have a proper perspective. Medinat Yisrael is in the middle there. It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, and you have to have the proper perspective. Same is true as far as all the mitzvahs, because they're all the mitzvahs. You have to have everything within perspective. On Pesach night, the Tanoim wanted to encourage Kideshi Yishalo Hatinokat. He wanted to encourage that the children should ask a lot of questions. So normally when you recite Kiddush, you have to have Kiddush B'machon Suda, you have to eat right away. On Pesach night also you require Kiddush B'machon Suda. It's a mistake that a lot of people make, not a lot of people, sometimes I say when... I know in my community, I live in the Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, so a lot of times people's wives have babies in the hospital, so they make Kiddush and they have half the Haggadah, they make half the Seder at home, and they go to the hospital to finish the rest of the Seder there. So the dinner is to say Kiddush here, and they're going to eat the matzah over there, but that's not Kiddush Machon Suda. People don't think about it, because you don't say Hamotzi until half an hour later. But that, on Pesach night, that's considered Kiddush Machon Suda. On a Friday night, there wouldn't be Kiddush Machon Suda. Friday night, you're not supposed to sing mirrors of the Mapsik with anything in between the Kiddush and the Hamotz. On Pesach night, I was just Hakam Chachamim, that you should say all of this, but not, or anything else that blends into the Haggadah. But some to schmooze about other things, to have a whole conversation, even where there's no Issa Hepsik. There's not an Issa Hepsik every step of the way. In the middle of saying a Bracha, there's an Issa Hepsik. But there are spots where there's no Issa Hepsik, but still, you're not supposed to have long conversations, because you require Kiddush and Malachim Suda. So on Pesach night, we don't start eating right away. We dip the carcass into salt water, kidei sheyishalu hatinokos. And in order to be able to dip the carcass into salt water, the Gemara says that whoever is going to dip in has to wash until the sidan. What's that word? That? So the Gemara explains that this is the takana satanaim, that whenever you eat some fruits or vegetables that are moist on the outside, they were rinsed off, let's say you're eating grapes or apples, that are rinsed off and they're still wet on the outside. So there is a gzera derabban, that was one of the 18 gzeres, which is, the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechta Shabbos, Beishama Yad Bodhi Beitzila, on the Yudchez Zeres, on the Yudchez Zor. So one of them was that Sam Yadayim Shneer thing, that the hand, unless a person just came out of the mikveh, just washing the Tilus Yadayim, the hands are always considered Tmeyim to the extent of a Sheni Lutum. And then there's another Gzeres Derabbanon, that if a hand which is only a Sheni is a Din, if the hand touches Truma, it passes the Truma. The Truma can become a Shlishi. And then the Tanai made another Gzeres, whatever passes Truma, if the person, let's say his hand, if he would touch his hand, the truma, it would pass the truma, he wouldn't be permitted, a coin wouldn't be permitted to eat that truma, or kachin, so if he touches water, any one of the zayin mashkin, so that mashkin becomes a rishon l'tuma, becomes more tummy than the hand. The hand wrong, a sheni l'tuma, so the klal was, whatever pass of truma, will be metame mayim to become a tchilo, to become a rishon l'tuma. If the water will become a rishon l'tuma, then the grapes on which the droplets of water appear will become a sheni l'tuma. So it will become a sheni l'tuma. So then if you're going to eat it, you will become tummy. So you'll become tummy. So the world's not going to come to an end. So you will become tummy. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that would pose a problem. People wanted to be tohor in order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, in order to eat truma, in order to eat kotshim. People had to be tohor. So if it's man ha-migdash, this would be a problem. So there was a takana satanayim that you have to wash Yitzilus Yadayim, with the bracha, Shekirishan Tzatzon Yitzilus Yadayim, before you would be about to eat the Dovish at Tibul of the Mashke, so that when you would touch the Mashke on the outside of the tree, you won't be Metameyah, so the Mashke won't be Metameyah, the Yochel, and you're eating the Yochel, won't be Metameyah. That's another Gdeir of the Rabban, that whoever eats Yochel Tameyim, or drinks Mashke Tameyim, becomes Tameyah. That's called Tumas Agriya, Tumas Aguf. That by eating the Natera, there is no such thing. That if a person eats Yochel that are Tameyah, his body becomes Tameyah. How can Ochel Mumashka be Mitame and Adam doesn't exist? But the Rabbanah made such exam. It's all in the first paragraph of Masech Hashem. So Tosis has a machlokes with the Rambam whether this has been applied bizman hazeh. The Rambam's opinion is that the Gemara seems to say that it was a takana satana, but it even applies bizman hazeh. Aye, the whole reason for the takana doesn't apply. We're all tmei meisim anyway. Everybody went to a funeral at some time or another. And even Kohanim, who only go to relatives, even if it's a young kohen, never went to a relative's funeral yet. You must come in contact with somebody else who went to a funeral. Everybody's Tamei Ben Kovako. So the Rambam says, even though the reason for the Takana doesn't make any sense, this one is that, but Kach Tikna Chachamim, that before eating a Dovish at Tzvul B'mashke, you have to wash your hands and say a Bracha, Al Natilus Yadayim. And that's how the Rambam is going past. You have to wash with a Bracha before eating a Dovish at Tzvul B'mashke. And the, let's say you want to dip a piece of cookie in some coffee. It's also Dovish at Tzvul B'mashke. Or if you want to eat apples or fruits that are moist and they weren't dried off, that's the Dovish at Tzvul B'mashke. And Taisus disagrees with the Rambam, and Taisus says that this takana only applies in man that the people in Israel on Tumah the Tara, but this man is there that everybody's tummy anyway. So the whole takana doesn't make any sense. So you don't have to wash it all. So you're permitted to eat the Dovish at Tzvul B'mashke. This man is there without washing it all. So because of this dispute, whether this takana the Rabbanon applies this man is there, that's why we make this achra. That we wash without a bracha, because according to Taisus' opinion, you don't even have to wash it all. So you can leave that. It's not kadesh urchas karkas, it's kadesh karkas, and there is no urchas. Taisus didn't have urchas. And according to the Rambam, it's not just the urchas, it's the same as rachsa. You gotta wash with a bracha. Shekhar Hashem says, on and tibos yadai. But because Taisus' opinion is that you don't have to wash it all, so if you say a bracha, it'll be a bracha, and I'm told, so we pass, we stop the bracha for akil, you leave out the bracha, and you wash without a bracha. That's the question, what do we do all year long? What about today if you want to eat some fruits or vegetables that are rinsed off, so you also have to wash without a bracha? So the Taz, in his commentary on Hilchos Pesach, points out that on Pesach night, everybody knows you have to wash with Dovish Tzvul B'mashke. So he says, Mikan tochachas megulah, from here you see that all year long we do wrong, that people always eat fruits or vegetables that they dip in cookies and milk or into coffee or tea. They don't wash before eating the Dovish at Tzvul B'mashke, so he says that it's not right. When you eat, let's say, Cheerios or Wheaties, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to wash, because you always eat it with a spoon. So you don't plan at all to dip your finger into the mashke. But if you're eating, let's say, if you're dipping a cookie into the coffee, and you may dip your finger in too far, so then you have to wash, even though you don't plan to dip your fingers into the coffee. But eating breakfast cereal, since the normal way is to eat it with a spoon, so then you don't have to, then for sure you don't have to wash. But let's say if you're eating fruits that are rinsed off, and in order to spare yourself the trouble of washing, you're going to eat it with a fork and a knife. You're going to be careful to cut up the apple with a fork and a knife and not to touch it. So then Shulchan Aruch doesn't help. The only time you can avoid washing for Dabish Zvulun Mashke is if the derech is to eat it with a spoon. Like a cereal. The derech is to eat it with a spoon.
Isn't there a
gloves? Gloves is also not right. It's also not right to avoid the Takanas Chacham by wearing gloves. The Gemara has it in that if a person is so far away from water and he wants to eat a sandwich and he's starving, and it's going to take him a long, long time till he comes to civilization, he's going to have water, so then it's not, people think that if you have the sandwiches wrapped up in a piece of paper, it's sufficient. That's not good enough. If your hands are wrapped up in gloves, if your hands are wrapped up, then we allow you to eat the bread without the Tilukhidam. If you're mountain climbing or something like that, you don't have any water available. But lachatchila is not right. If you have water easily available, then you're not supposed to rely on the glove. So what? That's the shaila. So here in the article Haggadah they explain, it says on the Urchat, the head of the household, and then it says, according to many opinions, all participants in the Seder wash their hands as if we were about to eat bread. So this is really a machlokes and achron, who has to wash before karpas? Karpas, everybody eats karpas. So who has to wash in advance? So some early achronim write the minig that many yekkes have in my community. A lot of yekkes have that minig that only the father of the household washes and the other people don't wash. Because it's only a zeche to the way things were in the days of the Beit HaMikdash. But it's not that we're machron that it should rule the mashke. The whole mikra then you don't have to wash. And apparently in Eastern Europe, they never heard of such a thing. The Taz, where the Taz writes, everybody used to wash. They held like the second day. And he says that it's a riot that everybody should wash with Dovashet the Lulav Mashke. And all year long, the proper thing is that you should wash without a brach. You should always wash without a brach.
What if you were risk of food off now but not eat it until it's dry? So only after when you're eating it?
Yeah, then you don't have to wash. Even though you were just mitamei it. You were just mitamei the water, the water was just mitamei the fruit. But that was the takanas chacham, that you don't have to wash it. Yeah.
You once said 2 years ago that the Rambam said that you're supposed to wash when you're eating fruit.
The Gemara says that one washes for peiros hareza migasi harua. That it's an act of arrogance. You're not allowed to wash for fruit. Unless the fruits are moist, if they were just washed off. That is the dovish of the rule of a mashke. The Ram says you have to wash for the brach before eating the fruits. Correct?
Usually you have to wash the fruits anyway. You have to wash the fruits.
Right. So the shaila is, are you going to dry it off before you eat or not? So if you didn't dry it off, then the Taz claims that all year long we should observe the din that's written in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam. The Rambam says that you say a brocha. There's only one Taz, mamish like the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say straight like the Rambam. It says that you should wash without a brocha. And every Dovish is a little
bit. But you don't have to wash this with a cup of Taz, right?
Twice. What, like before bread. I wish that. That would be very shocking. You wash your hands with your food like before bread? No. You wash like bread. You wash twice over here. They tell over the story about the Yeshuvenik that he was about to wash before Karpa, so he said, Hashem Kavishan says with Sivan. That's all. So the kid asked him, what do you do? So he said, it says the fish. You wash and you don't say, I'm the fish or not. Every year I say it over in the yeshiva that the Talmidim should know what the din is, that it doesn't mean that. It means that you don't say a brach at all. It's not that you say the whole brach up until I'm the fish. The Pahab joke. Then the Mishnah says that you have to have some yirokas. The Magen Avraham says yirokas are green vegetables. That's what he says. Even though to say Baruch Hu Adama, you can say Baruch Hu Adama on a tomato, you can say on a banana, you can say on a potato also, but the Magen Avraham says it should be a green vegetable. Who says that it should be karpas? That's what it says in Rashi's Haggadah. Kadesh, this comes from Rashi. Kadesh, Uchat, Karpas, Yachat, Hagos, Manian, Bar Mele Rambam, quotes that from Rashi. He was the one who instituted this Seder. So the word karpas comes from Rashi, from the Gaon. What is a karpas? What vegetable is a karpas? He's got to know a little Arabic. So the Chasam Sofer writes in Tshuva that his Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler was very interested in knowing what the original karpas was. What did the Gaon use as karpas? So he asked people who came from the Middle East, and they told him that the word karpas in Arabic means celery. So he was always makbid to use up celery for the karpas. So the Kevega quotes the Yerushalmi that for Yerokas, when the Mishnah says, Mishnah Yigmar never says it used karpas, that's the Lashon that the Rishonim has. The Goyim and the Rishonim say karpas. And they give a simon that it's the Shishim Rebo did avodas perech. So the word karpas is a simon of Samach perech. So making simonim on the name of, on an Arabic name of a vegetable. The word doesn't appear in the Gemara, the word karpas. It's an Arabic word. I don't understand why they felt compelled to make such simonim on Arabic words. Not because Rashi and the Gaon included it into the Agra. I don't know. So Rabbi Kevega on this sim in the Shulchan Aruch, when it says in the Shulchan Aruch we should use vegetable instead of work for Adoma, and the Magen Avraham says that it should be green, so Rabbi Kevega quotes the Yerushalmi that it says you should use petrizal. That's why many have the meaning to use parsley. But if you use a potato, it's also good. When you say the bracha bari, priho Adoma, so the Tesis says you should have in mind to cover with this bracha the maror as well, because there is a dispute among the Bali Atesis, when you eat the maror in the middle of the meal, is that covered with hamoitzi? Normally when you say hamoitzi, you eat a whole meal, so whatever you eat, whatever is dvar mapoy machm sasud is covered with the broth of hamoitzi, you don't require another broth. Here on Pesach night, the question is that which normal person has to eat horseradish? If you're going to eat horseradish, you're going to eat romaine lettuce, let's say romaine lettuce, or whatever endives, whatever people eat, most people normally wouldn't eat this in the middle of the meal. So they're stuck on Pesach night, they have to eat it. Let that person in the middle of the meal wants to have a lachaim, he drinks schnapps. So you don't say that the schnapps is covered with amoitz. The schnapps is not rama boy machmas hasudas. You have to say, no, a pesach night. The schnapps is lachaim. All year long, a person, someone got engaged, they had a baby, got married, whatever, want to drink a lachaim in the middle of the meal. So if you drink wine, the gemara says you have to say, brach v'agof in a step. That's the gemara, that brach v'agof is not covered with amoitz. What if you're drinking schnapps? So theoretically, schnapps should be covered with amoitz. The only thing is that it's not rama boy machmas hasudas. So then you would have to, if it's a toast, then you might have to say a shahakal separately on the schnapps. There's a machlokes and achrayim if you have schnapps after fish. The meaning is that whenever you have fish, before you have fleisha, you have schnapps in between. So that's a machlokes and achrayim. Is that called dvar mapoy machmas hasudas? Because that's the meaning, that you always have schnapps in between fish and meat. So somehow that's called machmas hasudas. Machlokes is the kitzur shulchan aruch and somebody else. I think the Bala Machabe kitzur shulchan aruch says that it's not called dvar mapoy machmas hasudas. You have to say a separate shahakal on that schnapps. And other achrayim say no. Since that's the menu, it's always the menu by from Eden that they have schnapps in between the fish and the meat. So that is called Vama Boy Machmas Hasudas. But that's still the Yetzik and schnapps. What about a Pesach night eat maror, which doesn't really fit into the rest of the meal? You say, so let's get down to eating the meal. So the people not interested in eating these endives, this romaine lettuce. The horseradish is certainly not interested in eating. So maybe, so you only have to eat it because it's a mitzvah on Pesach night. So since it doesn't fit in with the rest of the meal, the one opinion that I see is that you have to say, you really want to say Baruch Hu Hadam, but because of a technicality, Tosfos quotes Rabbi Yosef Tovel, because of a technicality, we are unable to recite Baruch Hu Hadam prior to eating the maror. So we say the Baruch Hu Hadam when we have the karpas, and we have in mind that this should cover the Baruch Hu Hadam of the maror as well. What's the technicality? What's wrong? Why can't you say Baruch Hu Hadam? The Tesis quotes Rabbi Yosef Tevelam, what are you going to say? Two brachas before you eat the maror. Baruch Hu Adama. Then you're going to say, Allah Filos Maror. That's a violation of Ein Ha'isa Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. And you can't recite two brachas on the same piece of vegetable. How do we do it all the time? You say, Hamoitzi Lechman Oretz and Allah Filos Matzah. He says, no, you have two matzahs. You have a Shleima and a Prusa. So Hamoitzi Lechman Oretz goes on the Shleima and Allah Filos Matzah goes on the Prusa. But you don't say two brachas on one piece. But you have to say Baruch Hu Adama on the maror. So in order to solve that problem, you say Baruch Hu Adama before the karpas, and you have a mind to cover the maror. The other opinion in Tosfos is that it's not going to work, that it's not so, and it's not going to work. It's not so because on Pesach night, even if you personally are not interested in eating this horseradish, or you're not really hungry for endogs, but since the Torah says, Amat Tzim Rom Yachlu, you have to eat it, so the halacha says that tonight, that's part of the meal. That's on the menu. Tonight, it's Gorma Bar Machmas Hasudah. Tosfos and Brachos and Tosfos himself has two versions of this. One version of Tosfos is that the vegetable blends into the meal in a normal fashion. The other version of Tosfos is not that it blends into the meal normally. The halacha says that it blends into the meal. Then on Pesach night it's declared as part of the meal. Whichever it is, Tosis presents this opinion that you don't have to say Baruch Hu Hadama before you eat the Mara. And they say that and if you would have to say Baruch Hu Hadama, the bracha that you recite before the carcass wouldn't help to cover the Mara, because it's going to take such a long time in between the carcass and the Mara, it will be a Hesach Hadas. And the other opinion is that's not a Hesach Hadas. You know now when you say the bracha Baruch Hu Hadama in the carcass that you're going to have Mara later, so there is no Hesach Hadas. So because of this dispute, it says in the Shulchan Aruch the following. You should go the Chumra in both directions. So when you say the bracha, Baruch Pri Hadoma, everybody should have in mind, and the one who's saying the Haggadah should say, everybody should have in mind now when you say Baruch Pri Hadoma, that this is going to cover also the Mara that they're going to eat later on after the Matzah. However, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend that you shouldn't eat the Kazayas of Karsa. Some people are so starved, they're so hungry. Even though they ate by the steam chorus in the morning, but they're still hungry. So they start eating a lot of potatoes, whatever, they fill themselves up before the meal. So that's not right. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to eat kazayas, because it will be a suffix for nefashis, whether you should say brach achrein or not. If the Baruch Pri Hadoma that you recite before the carcass covers the morer as well, then you don't say Baruch Nefashis after eating the carcass. You didn't finish eating yet. You plan to eat more vegetables in the middle of the meal. And the Brichas HaMorgen at the conclusion of the meal will cover both the carcass and the morer. If you hold, however, that there is a Hesach Hadas, like the other opinion places, then if you would really eat a kazayas of carcass, so then you should have to say Baruch Nefashis after the carcass, because the eating of the mara later will not be a continuation of the eating of the carcass now. So because of this dispute,
if I take a drink, or I eat something, I'm not going to wash for a suit. I don't have to make a
burn because
I can make the
tension
will cover the
burn
because I have to make it before.
No, let's say a person has a cup of tea, then he says, doesn't cover. It only covers like this. If I have a cup of tea, then I decide I want to eat. Then I plan to have tea in the middle of the meal also. Since the tea in the middle of the meal will be covered by the Birchas HaMazon, and the tea in the middle of the meal is the hemshech of the tea before the meal, so then the Birchas HaMazon covers everything. Then you have to say Borei Nefashos before, or Alam Nisya, whatever happens to be, and then wash and start the meal.
Well, we'll make a Borei Nefashos like this. Don't make it up.
It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you should have a little wine in the middle of the meal because of this consideration. And even those who don't have a little wine in the middle of the meal, we assume that since you require Kiddush from often students, so the Kiddush is really part of the suit. Even though you said, even though you drank the wine before you had Hamaitzi, it's also considered part of the suit. So in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend l'chatchilah that you shouldn't have a kazayas of karpas. The Rambam of the Aruch HaZoker writes that when you have karpas, you shouldn't have a kazayas. Why? Apparently, he thinks that the Chachamim were mistaken, that this is one of the mitzvahs achila on Leil Pesach. For whatever reason, they were mistaken. They were mistaken kadesha yishalo hatinokas, in order that the children should maintain their interest throughout the reciting of the Haggadah. They shouldn't fall asleep. Whatever it is, but they were mistaken that you should eat karpas, so you have to eat it, because I eat karpas. That's what it seems from the Rambam. However, on the bottom of the Rambam, the Haggadah Maimonides quotes in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg, that he says there's a misprint in the Rambam. He says, if you look later when the Rambam writes, that you eat matzah, and then he writes that you eat morah, so by matzah he writes you eat a kazayis matzah. By morah he says you say the bracha alachidus morah, he doesn't say that you eat a kazayis morah. Isn't there something fishy over here? By karpas he writes that you have to eat a kazayis. By matzah he says you have to eat a kazayis. By morah he doesn't write you have to eat a kazayis. So the Haggadah Maimonides quotes in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg that he thinks that there's a misprint, that line that says in the Rambam that you should eat a kazayis karpas really belongs later by the morah. That you should eat a kazayis morah. But the Rambam would also agree that you don't have to eat a kazayis karpas, and therefore the Maharam recommends that you shouldn't. But that you shouldn't eat the kazayis karpas because of this machlokes. Nope. So, those who know the din should be medaktik, not to eat the kazayis karpas. Some of the people are taka hungry, so it's not right to go give them a hard time telling that they're not allowed to eat a kazayis. There is a machlokes among the Rishonim whether the karpas should be eaten by Hasebu or not. Not the famous Rishon, it's not Rashi and Tosfos, it's the Abu Dram with the Sefer HaManeh, it's the Shibboleth HaLeket, the Rishon that we usually don't look in when we study Gemara. But they have a dispute whether the karpas should be eaten by Hasebu or not. So some Achronim recommend that you should eat karpas twice, in order to be able to vote opinions. But you shouldn't eat a kazayis kolila, otherwise you're going to get involved in the Sufi brothers. They say, eat a tiny bit of Hasebu, eat a little bit of Shloim Hasebu, nunu. That's quite a chumrah. There is also a Shaila in Rishonim and in Achronim. Let's say one person is reciting the Haggadah on behalf of all of Bnei Bayis. In the days of the Gemara, that was a common practice. The Gemara said the Ferish in the last parak in Tzachim, that Rabbi Yosef used to recite, the yeshivas used to be open on Pesach, like in Balazhin. Balazhin yeshiva was open on Pesach, and all the Talmidim ate by the Netziv Seder. And they all write all the stories the way they remember, the way the Netziv sang this Nigin, and he said this, and he said this, and everything that appears in the Netziv Hakodah is what he used to say by his Seder in the yeshiva, in the big yeshiva. In fact, Rav Kook writes also of that. He used to tell over Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the chief rabbi, who was 50 years ago. He also used to say all the different things that he heard from the Netziv by the Seder and reminisce about what the Seder was like. So the in the days of the Gemara, they also, the yeshivas were open on Pesach, and the Talmidim used to eat by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would probably they say that he would say the whole lot, but the Talmidim wouldn't say a word. They would all be yotze with Shanei Kohenim. Some Achronim somehow forgot that Gemara. Some raised the possibility that you can't say Shanei Kohenim by Haggadah. You can only say Shanei Kohenim by Kiddush, by Abdullah, by Birchas Hamazon, when you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then you can say Shanei Kohenim. By Kiyah Shofar, okay. But let's say by Duchenim, the famous tshuva that the Beis HaLevi has. Let's say there are two Kohanim go up to Duch, and one of them has laryngitis, and he just can't talk. So, Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna writes, Rabbi Tzal LeVilna rather, Rabbi Tzal LeVilna, the older brother, Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna, writes in his Sefer, Reishis Bikurim, that the Kohen who can talk should say the both Kohanim should have their hands stretched out. The Kohen who can talk should say the Baruch HaTiberecha, Hashem Yishmerecha out loud. And the other Kohen should be Yotze, which are Meir Kohen, why not? So it'll be considered, considered as if he said, whenever you have a mitzvah of Amir, and I listen to someone else who does the Amir, so it's considered as if I myself did the Amir. Right. So since he's doing the talking, and I'm listening, so Shmei Kohen is considered as if I said it. And the Beit HaLevi quotes this in the Sefer on Chumash. He doesn't write who said it, because he's disagreeing with the Vilna Dayan. He's a big Dayan in Vilna, Rabbi Tzal Vilna. He says he saw in a certain Sefer, he doesn't say the name of the Sefer, that you can say, you can allow Shmei Kohen. By Duchenin, he explains that it doesn't work, and he gives that svara. That when can you say Shmei Kohen? When you have to recite Kiddush, Avdolah, or Kiyah Shofar, read the Megillah, or something like that. But whenever you have to speak to somebody else, so if you have to have a relationship between the two people, and the other person doesn't hear you, he only hears the other kohen say the bracha, Hashem Yishmerecha, so you're not yotze the Duchenin. So sometime it's that according to that svara of the Beis HaLevi, if he's right, that the whole idea of Duchenin is, Amor Lahem Ka'odam Hamadab El Chaveiro, and you don't allow Shmei Kohen. Whenever you have to speak to somebody, so you shouldn't allow Shemei Kohenah by the Haggadah and Leil Pesach, because the Mishnah says in Pesachim that Lecha Tchila, the proper way to fulfill Sipin Tzitzis and Shama. Mamish, nobody there, and eating all by himself. So then he asks himself, and he gives the answers himself. But you see that lachatkila, the mitzvah b'shnei muso, is to tell over the story to others. And he's supposed to tell it to others, and everybody has the mitzvah of sipi tzitzis and shama pesach night. How can you say shemei kohena? That it's considered as if everybody told everybody else. With the amor lahem, with the kodem haim lachaver. That's what some achrayim developed the whole notion. So the later achrayim point out that it's against the gemara. The gemara says black and white that you do allow shemei kohena. The Gemara, in fact, has the whole discussion. Rabbi Yosef was a Sagi Nohor, he was blind, and he recited the whole Haggadah Baal Peh to be Moitzi, his Talmidim, based on Shemei Kohenah. So the Gemara raises the objection, how could he be Moitzi them if a cotton or a Cheresh or a Shote will blow? A woman, let's say, will blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, she won't be able to be Moitzi everybody else because the women are not Mechuyiv in the Mitzvah. Cheresh or cotton is not Mechuyiv. And the Gemara derives from a Pasuk that the Gemara claims that a blind person is Potter from Sipi Yitzis and Tzion. So since a blind person is part of from Sipi Yitzis and Tzion, because it says Babu Zeh, Asa Hashem Leib, Tzis and Tzion, Babu Zeh means something that you can point to. And even though you can pick it up, even though Rabbi Yosef can pick up the mats in the Mor, but since he can't see it, so that's a Chisaron of Babu Zeh, that's how the Gemara says the Ferish. So the Gemara time is that a blind person is part of an Atar from Sipi Yitzis and Tzion, the mostly is Mukhiv is only with the Rabbanah. So the Gemara time is, since Rabbi Yosef is a Sagi Nohor, and he wasn't Mukhiyim in Atayra, in the midst of Sipit Yisrael, and how could he be Moitzi the Talmidim? Based on Shemei Kohenah, if the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, in the end of the third Perek, the Mishnah Mukhiyim Bedovar, and Emotia Sacher Medechai Vasa. So the Gemara answers to this Taina that Rabbi Yosef is of the opinion that nobody does Manazah Chayv in Sipit Yisrael in Atayra. Everybody's only Mukhiyim in the Rabbanah. So he's Mukhiyim in the Rabbanah, they're Mukhiyim in the Rabbanah, everybody's equal. Why is no one Mukhiyim? The whole midst of Haggadah is only with the Rabbanah. Because it says Nechumish Babuzel Asar Shem Lei B'Tzeis Mitzrayim, and it says Nachar Babuzel Amar Shad B'Shor Shesh Ma'aser Maror Monachim Lefanach. You have to have something there. The Korban Pesach we don't have Bizman Hazeh Monachim Lefanach. And Maror, the Gemara says, is only made the Rabbanon Bizman Hazeh, because Maror is only made the Torah Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Yekayim. Bizman Hazeh Maror is only made the Rabbanon. But about Ma'aser Bizman Hazeh, is Ma'aser Bizman Hazeh in the Torah, is it also made the Rabbanon? So that's a Machlokes. Machlokes Amarim, the very end of stuff in that Kufkov. So we pass from that matzah bizman as ezman atera, because we have an extra pasuk that says there are tochel matzos, that it's a separate chiyuv. That not only is matzah mitzvah, the Torah hachshere the pisco, you should eat it in conjunction with the korban pesach to enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah of korban pesach. Like maris hachshere the pisco, it's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of korban pesach bishnei musa. But in addition to that, matzah is also a mitzvah bishnei atzma. So even bizman as ezman, you don't have any korban pesach at all, you still have the mitzvah of matzah min atera. And Rav Yosef holds Nakar, Rav Yosef holds like the other Amoraim, that matzah bizman hazeh is only with the Rabbanon. So if matzah is only with the Rabbanon, and Mora is only with the Rabbanon, and Korban Pesach doesn't exist, so you can't say Babu is there. So nobody has any mitzvah of CPATS Mitzrayim in our Torah. So Rav Yosef says, hey, I'm just as Mukhiv as everybody else, we're all Mukhiv and CPATS Mitzrayim in the Rabbanon. Nobody's Mukhiv in our Torah. But Halacha Lamais is the way we passed him, that matzah bizman hazeh is their Raisa. So all of the other people in the yeshiva, all the normal people who are able to see, would be mukhiv and are mukhiv and matzah min atera. So mainly they're mukhiv and sipi tzis and shayim min atera, because you can't say babuzeh. There is matzah munach lefanecha on the level of deraisa, and the summa is only mukhiv mid the rabbanon and sipi tzis and shayim. So the summa would not be able to be mighty the other people. Let's say all year long a blind person can recite kiddush, but be mighty everybody else. There's nothing wrong. There's one opinion in the gemara that the summa is part of mikol amitzus. The summa is only chayiv mitzvus mid the rabbanon. If you would hold like that, then a blind man wouldn't be able to blow shofar to be mighty everybody else. He wouldn't be able to recite kiddush to be mighty everybody else. But Ruba, the Ruba of the Paskin, don't accept that opinion. One of our quotes is, one day in the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the Paskin is like that sheet of Rabbi Yudah, the Tana, that assumes it's part of Mikol HaMitzvahs, there's only Chayim in the Rabbanon. But the other Rishonim don't pass like that. So we assume that blind people are just as Mechuyas, and all the Mitzvahs they rise as everybody else, with the exception of Sipi, Tzis, and Tzrayim, because the Gemara says that assumes it's part, this is Baba Zeh. But does that mean? Something that you can look at. It's not enough that you can shake it. You can look at it. Because the Gemara quotes the pasuk there. It says by a Bensorah Mora. The Gemara in the end of Pesachim quotes. It says by Bensorah Mora. V'tov sabo avivi imo. And they bring the kid to the bed. And they say, V'nein ezeh sarer mare. So the Gemara says, V'tov sabo avivi imo. They should grab hold of this son and bring him to the bed. And prat legidman. If the parents don't have hands and they're unable to grab hold of their kid, so the child is not mechuyev, he doesn't get the yonish of ben tzarmor. And then they say b'neinu zeh sarer mare. Zeh means that they're able to see him. So if the parents, if either parent is a sumo, either parent is totally blind, then the son will not be able to become that ben tzarmor. So you see that even though the grabbing hold of the kid is a tough ball, nevertheless they can't say b'neinu zeh if they're blind. You can't say zeh on something that you can't see. You have to be able to hold it. By the tough ball, you have to hold it, and you have to be able to see it. So the Gemara says on Pesach night, even if you're shaking the mat in the mortar, if you can't see it, if the person doesn't look, let's say he's in such a great ecstasy that he's saying the whole Haggadah Baal Peh, and he closes his eyes, that's no good. The Gemara says you have to have your eyes open and see the matzah, see the whatever it is that you have on the table. So the Gemara says explicitly that you do say Shemei Koine. That's what the Lei Racham said. The Gemara says explicitly you do say Shemei Koine on CPCS and Shema Pesach night. Hayetataina, how can you allow Shemei Koine by CPATS in time if the din is that lachatchila should be l'sapeh l'achir? So in the summer the answer is poshut, that it's only, that we already gave the answer, that's only lachatchila. The Mishnah itself gives the answer. Lachatchila the mitzvah b'shlei Musa of CPATS in time is to tell the story to somebody else. Kana ben shol, mein lo ben ishto shol osa. Mein lo isho sal acherim shol osa. Mein acherim imo, hu shol le'atzmo. So then, but what's the last level, what's the fourth level? If there's nobody else there, the person is making the seder all by himself, so he says to himself, Manishtan, and he says the whole answer. So you see that you are able to fulfill the mitzvah of CPTS and Shana Pesach night, even if you're not Mesapel Achir. It's just the Din Lachatchila should be Mesapel Achir, but that's not the essence of the mitzvah. That's the same as Duchening. Let's say the Kohen is all by himself, and he's going to Duchen. So if there's nobody there, that the Bracha should be Chalam, you can't Duchen. Let's say there's a Shul Kulo Kohanim. All the people in the Shul are all Kohanim. The Din is you have to have a minion. The Mishnah says in Megillah Dafkaf, you can't have Duchening without a minion. You have a minion. All 10 people in the Shul are Kohanim. Everybody's Kohen. The Baal Tefila is also Kohen. So he's going to turn around. They're all going to turn. They're all going to say a bracha. So the Gemara says you can't give a bracha to nobody. I, the Gemara says that the bracha is chal on the Am Sheba Sodai. The bracha is chal on the people in the field. That the Gemara says only if there are people in Shul, it's chal on them. then agav that the bracha is chal on the balabatim in the shul, so it's chal on the amshe batoris as well. But if there's nobody in the shul to give the bracha to, so then it's makir b'neyevet. You have to have a molohem korem ha'im ala haver. That's how you know you have to face ponim kineged ponim. You have to face the people and recite the bracha to them. So there, the Beis Halevi time is, you can't allow shemeya koine. By duchening, if the one koine has laryngitis and the other doesn't, so let them both hold their hands, and the one is able to speak, should say yivrecha Hashem yishmerech, and the other one will be yeter with shemeya koine, so the Beis Halevi time is on chumish. You can't do that, because where's the amor lahem? It's not korem ha'im ala haver. That's because by duchening the oim alachaver is the kuvah. That's essential. If you're not going to be medab alachaver, it's not called a bracha. A bracha means that you speak to the person, not that you say from a distance. We say to the farmers, we give them a bracha. That's a tefillah. A bracha is when you give ponim, can I get ponim? Give the person a bracha in person. If he's not here and you want to be mispalo for him, so that's not, over the telephone is also in person. But if he's not, you're not speaking directly to the person and he can't hear, that's a tefillah. That's not called a bracha. So therefore, it's essential to the duchening to have today we wouldn't allow Shemeh Koine according to the Beis Halevi. But here, it's not essential, it's just a mitzvah b'shleimusah to have Odom Hoyim Ala Haver. Why is it taka that the mitzvah b'shleimusah by Sipi Yitzis and Shrine is that you should tell it lachir? If it's not me'akev, if it's yevet, you can be yetzin the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzis and Shrine, even if ain't Shem Acherim, who shor liatzmo, and he gives the answer himself. So why is it that lachatchila you have to have that is Shemidab lachir? Let's say on Hanukkah, is there a requirement that you should light up? You light by the window that other people should see. Yeah, could be. It could be. Soloveitchik used to say another answer, along a different mahalo. He used to say that the Mishnah says that on Pesach night, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sitis Yisrael is to recite the parsha of Arami Yavudavi and to darshan it. So he thought that that's the ikuvah. That if you're not going to recite a parsha from the Chumash and Darshan, let's say you just tell the children the story of Yitzias and Tzorim. Just about that. So he thought that that wouldn't be sufficient. And if you just read from the Chumash, it wouldn't be sufficient. And if you just say Torah Shabbat, that also wouldn't be sufficient. So the Mishnah would appear that the only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by reciting some Torah Shabbat and darshaning it with Torah Shabbat. And that's what we do. We recite the psukim, Arami Avid Avi, and then we break down the pasuk to its different phrases, and then we darshan, and every phrase in the pasuk, Kvar Shenemar, Alamed, and so on, Shenemar, we quote psukim to explain what every section of the pasuk means. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the mitzvah of Sipi Tzias and Shana Pesach night can only be fulfilled in the form of Talmud Torah. It's a special prat within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In fact, that's what some. And that's perhaps why it has to be the Higadus Levinichah, because the Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach your children, to teach your own children. It's interesting, the Rabbi used to say, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam has something very strange. He says that everyone is mechuyav to teach Torah to other people, and then we're mechuyav to learn ourselves in order to be able to teach other people. We would have said that they're two different mitzvahs. No, we would have said that to learn Torah is one mitzvah, and then after you learn everything, then there's another mitzvah to teach Torah to others. If the Rambam doesn't write like that, the Rambam writes based on the Gemara. The Rambam quotes it from the Gemara Kiddushin. At the end of the first paragraph, it's a mitzvah, l'lamed Torah l'acherim, and then whoever is mechuyav l'lamed Torah l'acherim is mechuyav to learn himself. The Rambam quotes in the Gemara that women are not obligated to teach Torah to others, so they're not mechuyav to learn Torah for themselves. They're only mechuyav to learn the dinim in order to know how to observe the mitzvah satar. They're not obligated to learn all those dinim that are not relevant to them, because they're not mechuyav to teach to others. So the mitzvah begins with teaching, transmitting the Torah to others. He said on different occasions, when the Rabbanu Shel Olam originally created Adam and Chava, so there weren't too many people around, so he gave them a mitzvah, Peru Revu, Umir Vasaris. So that mitzvah, the Gemara said, the Torah applied to all the Yomas Olam. Kodem Matan Torah, the mitzvah Peru Revu applied to the Nochrim as well. There were no Jews. And after Matan Torah, the Gemara says, the mitzvah was changed, and it only, Mikael Abo, after Matan Torah, it only applies to the Bnei Yisrael, it doesn't apply to the Nochrim. And the Pashto says that the nature of the mitzvah also changed. That after Matan Torah, one only fulfills the mitzvah if he gives birth to children and he educates them. And he teaches them Torah. He transmits Yiddishkeit to the children. A person just brings babies into the world and he doesn't give them any Yiddish chinuch, doesn't fulfill any mitzvah. The mitzvah of Peruv, we have to mind in Har Sinai, the whole nature of the mitzvah changes. It's no longer mitzvah, Milos Arat L'Chiv Shua. The original mitzvah is Peruv, Milos Arat L'Chiv Shua, to conquer the whole world, to study science and to try to investigate as much of nature as possible. But after Maimon HaSinai, the Rebbeinu Shalom decided there are enough people in the world, and there's enough science, not mechuyev anymore to lilo tzoras v'chiv shua, and he only repeated the chelik of the mitzvah pluravu for the purpose of transmitting the masorah of Torah to the next generation. And that's why the Rambam seems to imply that, let's say, Benazai, a person who's nafsho choshka b'Torah, and he just feels that he's not cut out for marriage, he doesn't want to get married, so the Rambam seems like he says, it will teach Torah to other people, so this will be a partial kima mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya. Or the Chofetz Chaim writes, based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Ko'amar Hashem la'sarisim asher yishmuru shafisai v'acharu b'ashafat machazi kim b'v'risi, those who are sarisim, those who don't have children of their own, they should support yeshivas. Why? Because the ikar of the mitzvah of having children of Pirei V'Rivya is to transmit Torah values to the next generation, to be mechanech the next door with Torah. So if one doesn't want to get married, or one is married, is unable to have children or whatever, so then he should at least fulfill the partial kima mitzvah of adopting children and teaching them Torah, or supporting yeshivas and teaching Torah to other people. So the ikar mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be moiseh Torah lachem. So that's perhaps why over here on Pesach Nai, the ikar mitzvah is the higadah to the bincha, to tell your children. The ikar mitzvah of Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim is not so much just to be excited about the yisum and the flaws, but rather it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to quote the Shibolei Aleket in his commentary on the Haggadah, comments, why is it that before we start Keneged Abba Abadim Dibur Torah, that there's a mitzvah of Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim Yikir to your children, so we recite a Birchas HaTorah, Baruch HaMachim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalatim Torah Lam Yisrael Baruch Hu. As if it's a form of Birchas HaTorah. We already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you said Birchas HaTorah before you learn. So why do you repeat again now a form of Birchas HaTorah? So the Shibolei Aleket says part of this, and Rav Soloveitchik enhanced on the thing, that the Rishonim quote in the name of Rashi, that when he would wake up in the morning and learn before Minyan, he would recite Birchas HaTorah. And then when the Minyan came to Shul and they would all say Korbonis all together in Shul, after the Birchas HaShach, before Baruch Shama, he would repeat Birchas HaTorah again. We don't pass like that, Rashi. We pass like once he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, it covers all the learning you're going to do in that day, unless you're going to get an Aliyah. If you get an Aliyah, then you have to repeat again Birchas HaTorah. But Rashi's opinion was that you have to recite another Birchas HaTorah when there's going to be Talmud Torah B'tzibur. Because the original Birchas HaTorah that you said when you were learning for yourself and no one else was around, that was on Talmud Torah B'yochid. And now that you're having a new form of Kiyum, Talmud Torah, namely Talmud Torah B'tzibur, Talmud Torah B'rabim, everybody's reciting Karbonis together, so you have to recite a new Birchas HaTorah. So perhaps on Pesach Nai, since the Chachamim were Kaveya, that the way, the Mishnah says that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi and Tzias and Tzrayim is a specific form of Talmud Torah, to have Torah Shebichtav with Torah Shebaalpeh combined together, to recite the Parsha of Arami Avodavi, and to darshan is, but if you didn't do that, so Rabbi Amniel says you would be yotze, as long as you say matzuzu shanachem al shemo and so on. But lachatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus is to recite a parsha from the Torah and to darshan, and that's what we're about to do. So perhaps since now we are required to fulfill a specific form, a unique specific form of mitzvah talmud Torah, so maybe that's why we recite now another form of birchas haTorah, and maybe that's why the mitzvah b'shleimus is you got to live in chot, to give over the Torah to your children. Because that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Marta Mosmos Benechem. And maybe that's why the Ikar mitzvah is, if you don't have Bonim, the Ikar mitzvah is Lelamed Lacherim. Because the Ikar of Talmud Torah, the Rambam quotes based on the Gemara, that strange Gemara in Kiddushin, that the Ikar mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not to learn for yourself, but rather Lelamed Lacherim. And a chelak of Lelamed Lacherim to transmit Torah to others is that you should learn in order to know what you're transmitting. But the Ikar mitzvah of learning Torah is to transmit. There is a Gemara at the end of Brachot, so the Gemara speaks about Cherev al the pasuk in Yeshaya, the end of Yeshaya. Cherev al habadim v'noalu. So the simple reading of the pasuk is the simple pshat in the pasuk is that by a lot of the other religions, the pasuk there is referring to the Egyptian religion, and their religion, the priests would hoard all of the knowledge for themselves, and they insisted on keeping the masses in the dark. They didn't want to educate all of them, so they would only have very few people who know how to read and how to write and to know what the religion is all about, and they wouldn't spread the religion to the masses. They didn't want everybody to know everything. So the pasuk says, Cherev al habadim v'noalu, that it's a terrible thing, the badim, the people who keep the knowledge all for themselves. So the Gemara says that the pasuk is speaking about in Avodah Zarah, some other religion, but it applies to the Jewish religion as well. Cherev al tzaneim shel tamid hachachamim. Means a curse against those tamid hachachamim. So instead of saying a curse on Rabbanim, they say on the enemies of the Rabbanim. It means those who learn bad bevad, they learn all by themselves. So what does it mean? One who learns bevad a chavrusa should be cursed. many people throughout all the generations, many gedolim learned without a chavrus. Many people enjoyed better learning with chavrus. Many people enjoyed better learning without a chavrus. Gemara says for most people, ain't a Torah nikkun sela bechavrus. It's hard to be matzliach in learning unless you learn with someone else and you talk out the issues. It's hard to figure everything out on your own. But some people are just not nitfas in learning bechavrus. They learn by themselves much better. So there's such a terrible curse on those who learn without a chavrus. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Gemara does mean that. Different Mefarshim give different interpretations on that Gemara. What is the Gemara referring to? Talmid HaChamim who learn bad bevad, they learn all by themselves. So the Mesilas Hasharim says of Pshat, and it means that they learn and they are so abstracted from the real world. They're not in touch with reality. They don't read the newspapers, they don't know what's happening in politics, they're not up with the times. But that's what the Mesilas Hasharim says. That's the curse that the Gemara interprets the Novi is giving to the Talmid HaChamim who remove themselves, they go sit and learn in a yeshiva, they don't know what's going on in the world. Another Givada Pshat, so Rav Soloveitchik interpreted that the Pshat was the following, that the Sefer Hasidim speaks about how terrible it was that the Talmidim of the Bali HaTesis all used to listen to the Shurim of their Rabbeim, and they would keep notes, and they wouldn't lend the notes to other Talmidim from other yeshivas. They would hoard all the Chidushim. They wanted to be the only one who had these Chidushim Torah, and they wouldn't want to share it with the Talmud. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's what the Gemara is referring to. Cherev al-Chaminim al-Sanem shal Talmid HaChamim Shalomdim bad bevad, that they try to learn everything on their own, and to hoard the knowledge, they don't want to share the knowledge with others. That one is not permitted to learn Torah unless it claims to transmit the Torah to others. The Iker Inyan of Liman HaTorah L'Lamid L'Acherim, and Lilo Madliyakim is only in order to enable you to be L'Lamid L'Acherim. You're not, the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't give you permission to learn Torah unless you plan to transmit all of the knowledge that you get to other people. So I thought that maybe that's the Gerav Din on Pesach night, that the Iker Mitzvah L'chatchila Deraisa of CPTS Mitzrayim is Talmud Torah, Zahainu L'lamid L'acherim, to transmit the Torah to other people, to give it over L'bonim, L'matim Asmaz B'nechem. And if he doesn't have Bonim, L'ishto L'acherim, because the Iker Mitzvah Talmud Torah is to give it to others. If he doesn't have others, then he can do it on his own, he's surely Atma, Meshav Liyatma. But since that's only the Iker Mitzvah B'Shlei Musa, but it's not Le'ikuvah to transmit it to others, so that's why here you would apply Shemeh Koine to Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. It's not the same as Duchening. That by Duchening, the Odom HaMadab Al HaVeira is Le'ikuvah. There, if you're not speaking to anybody else, if the Koine is giving the brachas in Shul, and there's nobody there to receive the brachas, so they're just not Yotzei the Mitzvah at all. So there, where it's Ma'akev, that's the essence of the whole mitzvah. Without speaking to anyone else, there's no kima mitzvah at all of duchening. So there, the Beis Halevi time is for that you can't apply Shemei Koine. But by Sifi Tzis and Tzandim, more so the version, you would apply Shemei Koine. So here there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. Many families, the minigis, that one person recites the Haggadah and everybody else just relaxes and they sit and they listen. So on Kiddush, it's fine. And the Haggadah Mayinu is fine. Everything is fine. The Shad is, what about the Bori Pri Ha'adama of Karpas? The Gemara says that Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvot Tzvonu al achilas matzah, that's a brichas hamitzvah. So that you can also say the bracha for someone else. What about hamoitzi? Also, I can say hamoitzi if I'm eating and he's eating. You can say hamoitzi. And on Pesach night, the Gemara even adds a greater chiddush. Even if I'm not eating, since the hamoitzi goes together with al achilas matzah, and since the bracha agafen goes together with the kiddush, even if I'm not drinking, unless I'm just going to your home to recite kiddush for you, then I'm going to go home to my own house. So the Gemara even says I could be moitzi you with the bar pi agafen of the kiddush, just like I could be moitzi you with the kiddush, even though I don't want to be yotzi now. I can be moitzi you with the bar pi agafen. The shaila is, what about bar pi hadom of karpas? If one person says, let's say you have a lot of people, not on Pesach night, a lot of people sitting and eating potatoes. If one person says bar pi hadom. So the Gemara has. No, only by Kiddush and Hamoitzi of Al Achilas Matzah I can recite the bracha for you, even if I'm not even eating or drinking anything. What if we're all eating together? What if we're all eating together in the middle of the week, not on Shabbos, and nothing to do with Kiddush? So if it's pasta, yayin, if it's bread, and we're all eating together, I can say Hamoitzi and Imoitzi together. If it's yayin, and I say bracha, I'll go from the Gemara, says I can be Imoitzi. What if we're drinking beer? What if we're eating potato chips? Can I say the bracha to be Imoitzi everybody else or not? So the Gemara has two lashonos. And it's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raavad, and there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch what the din is. So the Rambam paskins that on other foods other than pas and yang, you can't recite a bracha to be moitzi anybody else. Even though I'm eating myself, we're all eating potatoes now, we're all eating karpas. I can't say bor peradam to be moitzi other people. And the Raavad paskins the reverse, that on pas and yayin, you require hesteba, that everybody should be sitting at the same table. And if we're drinking soda, or we're eating potatoes or something, even if we're not eating at the same table, there is no Hasebah, we're more makel there, and I can say the Baruch Adam, but to be most of the other people, even though there's no Hasebah, even though there's not one yeshiva. So that's a machlokes. So that's why the Poskim say that with respect to the Baruch of Karpas, the proper thing is, you should encourage everybody to say their own Baruch Pri Adam. Even though you'll rely on Shemei Koneh for the whole Agorah from the beginning to the end, to the Kiddush and the Baruch Yagofen and Hamoitzi and Alachilas Mat and Alachilas Mat and everything, Avodah Mayinu, but for the Baruch Pri Adam of Karpa, that's a big shaila. The Rif and the Rambam happen to Paskin that you can say Baruch Pri Adam to the Moitzi other people for Karpas, even if you're not eating by them. That's a Kiddush. Even if you're not eating. Apparently there was a practice that the Balabatim had no Haggadahs. Or they had Haggadahs, they didn't know how to read, whatever it was. So the rabbi had to go prabha the seder by every Balabasin's home. So the rabbi would go home from shul and on his way, he would run through the Haggadah by one Balabas and then run to the next home and recite the whole Haggadah. And he would say the Baruch Yagofen and the Kiddush and everything. And he wouldn't eat, he's going to have to eat at home. He wants to have Kiddush Mokum Suda. His wife and his children are waiting home. So he would run through the whole Haggadah. So the Rambam quotes in the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that. He can say Baruch Yagofen with the Kiddush and even though he's not drinking the wine. That's the Gemara. He can say, I'm wasting on Achilas Mat, even though he's not eating. And they have to drink, right. And then the Rambam quotes from the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, he can say, Baruch Pri Hadama for Karpas, even though he's not eating the Karpas. You can even say, Yotza Moitzi, he's not eating at all. So that's the Chiddush, the Rambam and the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch hold that this is considered part of the Haggadah. That on the whole Haggadah, you say, you can be Moitzi other people. And others on the bottom, on the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a quote, those who question it, this is very difficult. That you can say Baruch Pri Adam to the Moitzi the other people on the Karpas. It's even a question if you're eating together with them, whether it's proper that they should rely on your bracha. Maybe everybody should say their own bracha. So that's why some posts can point out that with respect to the Karpas, you should try to be more everybody that they should say their own bracha. Or Baruch Pri Adam. So again, the whole purpose of the Karpas, according to the Gemara, is just Kadesh Yishalu Hatinaitis, to keep the children's interest. And then right after the Karpas, starts the Magid. You start the Haggadah. How do you start the Haggadah? So Bizman HaMikdash, we learn after the Pasuk Bavrezeh, L'amarte L'Bashar Sheis Matzimah Menachem Lefanecha, you only have the Chiyuv to recite Tzipias Yisrael on Pesach night, if you have something there. Let's say the person doesn't have a Korban Pesach, no Matzah, no Morah. So then he has no Mitzvah Min HaTorah, Tzipias Yisrael Sama. Let's say he's a Jew in prison. In Siberia or something, and he just doesn't have any matzah or anything. So then he only has a mitzvah of CPCS and Chaim is the Rabbon. If he has matzah, so we pass him that matzah is Manatar. So then the CPCS and Chaim is Manatar. You have to have some Babu there. You have to speak about the story of the CPCS and Chaim in connection with some tangible object, one of the mitzvahs alayla. If it's Mana Migdosh, then it's Tziv points out, and it's Bira Chumash, and Parshas Boy, and Parshas Achidish. If it's Mana Migdosh, that they had the Korban Pesach, so that was the Iker. So they would have the Korban Pesach on the table. And they wouldn't start off Hol Achmanu D'Achol Avasam. They would say, this is the Korban Pesach that we brought on Erev Pesach. And then they would start Manashtan. And this Man Hazeh, that's why it's in Aramaic, because this was composed in Bovel, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when they no longer had the Korban Pesach. So they had to change the Nusach of the Haggadah. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes for Farish. And this is the Nusach of the Haggadah that was composed in Bovel, Hol Achmanu. That's why it's in Aramaic. This Man HaMikdash, they didn't say Hol Achmanu. They started off, this is the Korban Pesach that we brought, and then they say Manishtan. And the Manazeh as a substance, instead of having Bavuzeh, Korban Pesach, so you start off Bavuzeh, you have the Lachmanya. So because we have Magid, and we say Ho Lachma Anyo, you have to, that's why it's called Lechem Oni, because Lechem Sha'onim all of Dvarim Harbe. That you have to tell the story of Sipi Tizim Shaim in connection with the Mitzvah of Matzah. That's Bizmanazeh, Lechem Sha'onim all of Dvarim Harbe. Bizmanazeh, she didn't need the Lechem Oni for the purpose of Sipi Tizim Shaim. You can leave the Korban Pesach there the whole time. You didn't have to have Dafka the Mas. But the Zman Hazeh, you don't have any Korban Pesach. So if you want to fulfill the Mitzvah Magid, you have to have some one of the Mitzvahs Halayla, and Morah is only with the Rabbonon. So if you want to fulfill TPTs and Simon HaTorah, you have to have Matzah. Matzah is the only thing that we have. The Zman Hazeh, that's Minatorah. So in order to have Matzah, that's why we have Yachatz. Who stuck in the Yachatz over here? That's what Rashi has. Rashi, this Haggadah Maimini on the bottom of the Rambam, quoting Rashi, is the first source of the introduction of Yachatz. Bizman HaMikdash, they didn't have any Yachatz here. They had Karpas, Kadesh Yish Latinoikas, and then they would leave the Korban Pesach on the table. They had already shechted it before and broiled it on Erev Pesach. then they leave the Korban Pesach on the table and they say, this is the Korban Pesach that the Rabbanu Shalom told us we have to bring on Pesach. And then they would say, Manashtana. Then they would go back. They wouldn't make this declaration, Holach Ma'anya. But the Bizmana says, we don't have the Korban Pesach. So you have to have some kind of one of the mitzvahs halayla. So we say, Holach Ma'anya, this is Babu Zeh. Here's the Lechem Shanim Ol Varm Harbei. So in order that it should be called a Lach Ma'anya, you have to break it in half. So the Gemara says, why is it called Lechem Oni? Madarka Shaloni Beprusa. Avkam Beprusa. A rich man can afford to have Shleimus, and a poor man doesn't, can't afford to have anything. So he goes around knocking on the doors, asking for the dovers. So the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Halafros L'Royiv Lachmecha. Break off a piece from your challah, a piece from your bread, and give it to the poor man. So you give him a broken piece of bread. If it's a really rich fellow, so give him a shleima. But usually, you only give the pasuk in Shai says you give him a prusa. So since madakus shalani beprusa, the poor man usually has a broken loaf of bread. So that's why we first do yachat. We break the matzah, so we only have a part, and then we say a declaration. This is the lechem oni that we have to have in order to enable us to fulfill the mitzvah of sipitzis and shai. So the zman hamigdash that they didn't have to have the matzah, they had the korban pesach. They didn't have any yachat. In fact, the Rambam doesn't have any yachat bichlal. The Rambam says, yeah, you have to have prusa when you're, after you wash the second time, until you're dying, and you're about to say hamoitzi. So instead of having two shleimos, like you normally have on every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should break one of the shleimos and have one shleimo and one prusa. That's the machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos. That Tosfos says that on every Yom Tov you have to have lechem mishnah, you have to have two shleimos, some Pesach, you have to have lechem mishnah. But in addition to the lechem mishnah, you have to have madarki shalani b'prusa, you have to have a broken one. The Tosfos says, oh, so you have to have three matzahs, you have to have two shleimas and a broken one. And that's what the Rishonim say, the Agudah, writes in his commentary, Sefer Agudah is the Talmud of the Rosh, writes in his commentary on Gemara Brachas. Gemara says in Brachas that a Pesach night, hakol moedim, everybody agrees, sheminech prusa b'toch ha-shleima u'botzea. Everybody agrees, he put the prusa b'toch ha-shleima. What do you mean b'toch? So he said, it's a riot to taste. B'toch means you have two shleimas, one on top and one on bottom. You put the prusa in the middle. So that place is meaning that you have two shleimas to fulfill the mitzvah of lechem mishnah and zechel amon. That there was a double portion of amon, and every erev Shabbos and an erev Yom Tov. Then you have to have the prusa because of lechem oni. So the Rambam disagrees with that place. The Rambam says you don't have two and a half because where's the lechem oni? If you have two and a half, so that shows that you're richer than everybody. Everyone else only has one loaf of bread. You have two and a half. So the Rambam says no. That the lechem oni is that whereas on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov you have two shleimas. On Pesach night, you don't have two shleimas, you only have one shleim or one prusa. That's how the Rambam writes. So the Rambam writes, when you make this, the one shleim and the one prusa, you demonstrate that you're not going to fulfill lechem mishnah. When do you do this? The Rambam says, right before you're about to say hamoitzi, not lachilas matzah, you take two shleimas and you break one, you have one and a half. According to Pesach, you have two and a half. And then right as you're about to say the two brachas, hamoitzi, not lachilas matzah, then you arrange your yachad. The Rambam doesn't have yachad all in the beginning. According to the Rambam, where do you have the lechem shonim all of Varm? You have to say, holach ma'anya. The Rambam holds, you can have a shleimah. What's this? It's lach ma'anya. It is lechem oni. And our practice is like Rashi, like the Goyim, that we have yachatz as an introduction to Magid. That you want to start off the Haggadah by showing that you have one of the mitzvahs halaylo, in order to say, Babu zeh, l'imata v'shoshiyesh, something l'fonecho. So the Korban Pesach, we don't have the chlal, and the Morer is only the Rabbanah. So in order to have CPCS and Chaim and HaTorah, so we want to demonstrate that we have lechem oni. So we break a prusa, and we say that's why it's called lechem oni. And we say holach manya. This is the lechem oni that enables us to fulfill the mitzvah of CPCS and Tzrayim. They go and follow the Rambam's opinion, right? That you only have one shleim and one prusa, but that he didn't follow the Rambam all the way. The Rambam shita is that you don't have any yachat bichlal. Rambam shita is that you only break it right before you're about to say the bracha. They go and did like we did. He had first yachat and then magid. The meaning is that you break the middle matzah into two parts and you wrap one part around and you put it away for the afikomen. What kind of a meaning is that? That you wrap it around and you put it away for the afikomen? So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that the explanation is the following, that the afikomen, the Rishonim say, is supposed to be a zechel korban pesach. That we eat matzah twice on Pesach, now we eat three times. You eat first for the alachilas matzah, then you eat for the koirach, and then you eat at the end for the afikomen. So the matzah that you eat in the beginning, that had to be eaten with tayyavim. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to eat on Erev Pesach. And then amin chalamayla, late in the afternoon, kidesh yechal matzah le tayyavim. The Korban Pesach was bedafka not eaten with tayyavim. Because the Rishonim says we're afraid Mishum Shviat Etzim, the special law that only applies to Korban Pesach, it doesn't apply to any other Korbanos, the Etzim Leisish Burbo. You're not permitted to break any of the bones of the Korban Pesach. So they're afraid that if a fellow is fasting a whole day in Erev Pesach, he may be so starved that he's going to grab hold of that piece of flesh and he's going to break the bone in order to chew up the bone in order to get the marrow. So that's why they made Exeret Rabbanon, that's what Pesach quotes to Shem, Exeret Rabbanon, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten Davke Nechal Ala Sofa at the end of the meal. That's how the Mephoshim explained the Nusach that we say in Holach Manu. We say, Kol Dichvin, whoever is starving, whoever is hungry, Yesev Yechel should come and eat matzah. And Kol Ditzrich, whoever needs, Yesev Yivsach, he should eat the Korban Pesach. What do you mean eat the Korban Pesach? You don't have any Korban Pesach. And this Nusach was composed in Babel. So the Mephoshim say that Yesev Yivsach means he should eat the Apikoimo. That Yesev, Kol Dichvin, whoever is hungry, should eat matzah. Matzah has to be eaten with the oven. That's a takana satanoin. That you're not supposed to eat men anuchal amayla kidei shiyochal matzah with the oven. But you don't say kol dechfin, whoever is starved should eat the apikoimen. You're not supposed to eat the apikoimen when you're starving because the apikoimen is echal pesach. And the korban pesach has to be eaten dafke al hasova when you're already full, not when you're totally full. So it should be an achila gasa, but you shouldn't be starving anymore. So that's why we say kol dechrich, yesev yisach should eat the apikoimen. Whoever wants should eat the apikoimen. So here, the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained that in Korban Pesach there is a din, in all Korbanos, that Hesach Hadas passes a Korban. That if a Korban becomes Tameh, you're not permitted to eat it. What if you left the flesh of the Korban on the side and nobody was watching it? I shech the Korban and leave the basa somewhere, and there's no one around to watch to make sure that it didn't become Tameh. So even though it most probably did not become Tameh, you should really put it on the Cheskes Tahara, that it was tohor when we put it there, when we come back and we don't see that it moves, and the tamei, nobody, no Adam Tomei came, and no sheret came and brought a dover tamei on top of it. But still, there is a din of Hesach Hadas, that if nobody was watching it, so there's a psum. So the tam Hesach Hadas, since there was a lack of shmirah, he is forbidden from eating that korban. The Gemara has a whole dispute in Sochem about the nature of the psul of Hesach Hadas, whether it's a psul b'tara sofik, it's a sofik nitfa, sofik lo nitfa, even though it really shouldn't even be a suffix, you should follow the Cheskes Tahara. That's the chumer that in Korbanos you machmir more because of the din of Mishmeres Trumoisai. You need Mishmeres by Truman, a Kalvachemer that you need Mishmeres by Kotshim. So you machmir more to treat that as if it were a suffix in Nitma. That's one opinion of the Gemara, Rish Lakish. Now we pass from like Rabbi Yechanan that the Psul of Hesach Hadas is not only a Psul of a suffix, it's a Psul of a Vadai. Since there is such a far fetched suffix, maybe this piece of Korban became Nitma. So it's a psul b'taras vadai. Even if Ali b'de'emes, even if Klap Yishmai Galiyah never became Tomei, it's a psul b'taras vadai because there exists a possibility it became Tomei. So that's already a psul b'taras vadai. So because the afikoma that we're going to eat is going to be Zechel Korban Pesach, therefore we treat it as if it would have been a Korban Pesach, and the Hesach Hadas would pass on. That's how the Ravid writes on the Rambam, when the Mishnah says, if everybody fell asleep, there's a Mishnah in the end of Pesach, if everybody fell asleep, and then they wake up in the middle of the Seder, so no one is allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Why? So the Ravid says, Rashi, the Rashbam has a different shot than the Mishnah. But the Ravid writes on the Rambam, because if everybody fell asleep, so the Korban Pesach became Nifkol, the Hesach Hadas. And then the din is that it applies Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara says that din applies Bizman Hazeh regarding the Afikoman. That if they started to eat the Afikoman, and then everybody fell asleep, and then they woke up, they're not permitted to continue eating the Afikoman. Why? They treat the Afikoman as if it were a Korban Pesach. So just like the Korban Pesach is Nifkol, the Hesach Hadas. So we treat the Afikoman as if the Korban is also Nifsal Behesach Hadar. So you got a problem. So that's why the kid has to be careful to hide it in the place that he knows where he hid it. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, that's why we wrap up the Afikoman and we put it away in a Makom Meshumar, because you need Shmira on Korbanos, and we treat the Afikoman as if it were the Korban Pesach. It's supposed to be Zecha the Korban Pesach.
Then it's also not God. The kid put it away, let's go check.
The kid has to put it away in a safe spot where he knows where it is. Not that it's a young kid and he puts the insult, doesn't remember where it is. He's going to put it in a place where the mice may come to meet it up or something like that. So take another one. Take another piece. It doesn't have the
status.
It doesn't really begin to get the status of Afikoman until you begin to eat it as Afikoman. That's the Mishnah. That if they fell asleep after they began eating Afikoman, then they're not permitted to continue eating. If they fell asleep before they started eating Afikoman, there's no problem. But this is Liesa says, the minig is that you put away the Afikoman, you wrap it up, that should be the Shmir. The Mephoshim point out, why do you say at this point, Bashata Hocha, this year we are here, the Shana Bo, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's Tefillah, right? You should say it near to the end. Or we say it in Asher Yalonu, Ken Hashem HaKen Yagienu. What's that is over here? Why do we mention it here? So some of Farshim on the Haggadah explain why. So we just made a statement, Kol Dichfin, whoever is starving, Yetzir V'yechel Da Shirit Matzah, which has to be eaten in the Tayavim. And Kol Ditzrich, whoever is not starving, should come and eat the Karban Pesach, which Yetzir V'yisach, which today means the Shirit V'yafikayim, which has to be Nechal Ala Sova. You're not supposed to eat the Karban Pesach or the Yafikayim when you're starving. You have to eat a dafka latzova. So we invite anybody to come and participate in our afikana. So the shaila is, but bizman amigdash, you wouldn't be able to invite people to come and participate in your korban pesach because it has to be nechal menuyah, and it has to be mamuna on the korban pesach before the shechita. So some of Farshim explain that this really poses a problem. Shouldn't we be afraid that maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built next year and somebody will remember that he just came in and he ate the afikomen bani, which is supposed to be a zechel of Korban Pesach, he wasn't a mamun on the Korban Pesach, so next year he may barge into someone's home on Leil Pesach and he'll be starving to kol dichven yeter yechal halit matzah, and then he'll go and halit the Korban Pesach shalol amnuyah. So the Mefarshim, and the Gemara has such exeil. The Gemara says that we don't allow eating chadash bizman hazeh, even though it should be mutter to eat chodesh on Tez Zayin Nissen, on the Yom Tenuf HaSoymer, Yom HaNav HaSoymer, because Meheri Yibana HaMikdash, maybe next year they'll build the Beis HaMikdash, and you won't be allowed to eat chodesh on that day. So we're afraid that people will remember from this year to next year, and next year the story will be different because there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. So how do we allow it on Pesach night? Do we allow such an announcement?
You won't have a lot more.
But he'll think he can walk into someone's home and eat Korban Pesach. So the Mefarshim explained that the Hashash only applies by Chadash, because even if they'll build a Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, the Gemara says, and they'll bring the Korban Haimer and the Beis HaMikdash, not all the Jews will be living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Jews will be living all over the world. So the Jews who are all over the world in Golis will remember last year we ate Chadash on Tez Zionism. And this year they'll think they can do the same, and they won't be allowed to, because when you have a Beis HaMikdash Kayam, you're not permitted to eat the new tefu until after HaKrovas Korban Haimer. But when the Beis HaMikdash will be built and they'll be bringing Korbanos, then we say, Hoshata, this year, Hacha, we're all stuck over here in New York. But the Shana Abo, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, we'll all be in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rabbanim will already, everybody will be there. So they'll tell us that no one is permitted to eat the Korban Pesach, Shalom Aleinu. That's how some of Farshim interpret that line. That it's an explanation as to how can you allow an invitation for eating apikoma, which is Echel Pesach, and may mislead people to think that next year when they'll have a Beis HaMikdash, they can just walk in and eat Korban Pesach Shalom Aleinu. So the explanation is given, no, next year we'll all be there and it's all, we won't make any mistakes. Chodesh, we assume not so, because there is a possibility that the Beis HaMikdash will be built on Pesach and all the Jews will still be living all over the world. But then you have a problem. Those who live all over in Golis, they may make a mistake and eat Chodesh. Maybe believe that next week. We'll continue with the Haggadah. Okay.